Thank you for waiting. I greatly appreciate it. I'm Katie K9. I'm here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. I'm Ann Grant. If you haven't heard the show before during this time of the year, I'm in drive time, you know, in the summer months. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming home from the cabin.
That's true.
So I am in drive time during the summer
months.
Isn't that cool?
Yep. Yes.
Drive time is normally 3 to 6 during the week. That's mm-hmm. what Lori and Julia are the queen of. And mm-hmm. then on Sundays, I got it from 4 to 6. So I'm pretty cool. And there are a lot of people, I'm really surprised, that you know have emailed me or whatever and said, yep. Yeah, we're your drive time all the way home.
Love it.
That's pretty cool. That really is. Okay. Oh, I forgot where we were here. Okay. Who is it that rows quickly with four oars, but never comes out from under his own roof?
One more time.
Who is it that rows quickly with four oars, but never comes out from under his own roof?
Oh, I am clueless. I'll say the only thing that comes to mind is Moses, but it's absolutely wrong.
That's well, hey, it was a stab. It's a turtle.
Oh.
He rows quickly with four oars. Because if you look at a turtle's foot, mm-hmm. it does look like an oar.
It's okay? True. There you go.
And he doesn't come out from underneath the roof.
That's true. Underneath his little shell.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
I just got the oar, so I was thinking Moses, and that wasn't. I should have said Noah, not even Moses. I was so far off there.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty funny. Okay, let's go on back to Mary. Okay, so now, Mary, how many times did your pupper met?
Twice.
Okay, and how did it seem to go pretty good?
Yes. The first time they met, they just ignored each other. The second time they met at our house, it was kind of more ignoring each other, but kind of checking each other out.
Okay. Because what's the size difference?
Big.
Okay.
The little one is about 16, 17 pounds, and the big one, I'd say about 50, 60 pounds.
Okay. And 5 miles of legs and body?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, both times has the tall one, has he had a muzzle on?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because you got to remember with the muzzle, that kind of humiliates them. You know what I mean? Humbles them. Not humiliate. Humbles them.
Okay.
And so the thing is what would happen? You know, so there's no way of telling. I mean, well, there is a little bit. Even with the muzzle on, if he wanted to do danger to your little one, he could have, okay? He mm-hmm. could have tried. And so the bigger thing is that now, you know, they get fed in separate areas. Toys and food are usually the big, you know, crossovers that causes problems.
Okay.
So during feeding times, I'm a big advocate to feed dogs and kennels. So now you know who ate what, when, and why. And nobody's about, you know, gulping and running to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also toys. Some dogs will deem toys a high value. And so usually, have you ever had a big dog and a small dog in the same house?
Not
okay.
For this time.
Yeah, because usually the small dog in the house will rule it. All right. So your little one's going to be going after the face of the big one. Like, let's say he walks by a toy and your little one's like, my toy. They always go for the face. And so a lot of the taller dogs learn to come into a room with their head sideways. And remember what that says earlier, I was mentioning side profile is a calming signal.
Mm-hmm.
It means I mean you no harm. Okay. And so that's why I had one girlfriend that had three Great Danes. Every one was over 150 pounds. And two little Yorkies are about 6 pounds apiece. Those Yorkies totally annihilated those Danes. It's so funny. The Danes would not even come into the room that the Yorkies were in. And so that's why it's just when you get into a living situation, you know, a house, it's different than outdoors. And so what you just want to do is baby step it and just see what's going to happen. You can learn to read the body language. And if you're worried because most of your racing dogs are acclimated to the muzzle, you know, until you feel a little bit more safe or, you know, you feel more secure, I should say, that it's probably going to get along, then that's the time to take the muzzle off. Okay. So that's the thing is that it's just something that you're going to feel inside. Okay. Go for walks. So they're going for walks in the same direction. You know, sit, you know, on the patio where they just kind of hang out and look at each other and not, no big deal. Okay. But see, now you got to remember, like I say, they are a sight hound. If it moves, you're on it. And some are worse than others. Okay. And some, what we were talking about earlier, is that they'll race to it, you know, like, gotcha. And then it's like, oh, We're done? Okay. And then they go about their way. Some gotcha, it means pick you up and shake you. Got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why you just got to pay attention and just kind of get a, don't talk yourself into the dog. It should just feel right that I think this is going to work. All right.
Okay.
That's the big thing. And you're getting a dog because you want the dog. You're not getting a dog for a dog, are you?
No. Okay. No. The kids asked to add, and my husband and I agreed.
Okay.
And so now we're exploring.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The big thing, you never talk yourself into a dog. And somehow it just feels right. It's like they find, you just, everybody finds each other when they're supposed to find each other.
Right.
But the thing is, if you just have, if there's a little tinge in your gut, you don't listen to your gut. Don't out, you know, that's just pay attention. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck with the merger.
<Thank you.
laughs> And good luck with the gut.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes. Yeah. It's when we used to have the track, did you ever go to the Greyhound racing or anything?
I did in Florida when I was a kid with my dad, yes.
I don't even know. Are there many tracks, dog tracks, open anymore?
I don't know around here. Not that I know.
No, I know in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then Sioux Falls, I think. Is that Sioux Falls? I think it closed.
Yeah.
I think they had two or three of them down there. But I don't even know if they have many racing tracks.
Yeah, the only time I was in Florida, that's it.
You know, so. any dog that comes up a track, you got to admire if they could fit into a household. Because all they're asked to do is stand, run, eat, and sleep. Oh, and then go doo-doo or go potty, okay? But they don't know what stairs are. You know, they don't know the sounds of a house. They, you know what I mean? They're in kennels and racing all the time. And so that's why when people adopt the Greyhounds, most of them do work out. But there are an occasion one that just can't cross it, you know, it just doesn't work. And so that's why I mostly your Greyhounds and are just basically giant couch potatoes, just like the Irish Wolfhound. I think I talked to you the last time you were here. The first one I met was Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sat, his head was about even with mine as I was standing.
Yes.
I was never so intimidated. All I could think is, my, what big teeth you have.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're so intimidating looking, but they're like gentle giants.
They are.
You know what I mean? They're just so calm. And that tail, oh Lord, don't stay out of that tail.
There's some, yeah, that'll cause some damage. That thing flows, and that thing will go, that'll hit you for sure.
Oh yeah, the Greyhound tail is huge.
Yeah.
At least for the Greyhounds, they're narrow, so it's more like a little whip.
Oh.
And not a pound.
Yeah, the ones that the Wolfhounds, if he gets in a door, in a hallway, it's
yep, no, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, who's up?
We have Ryan right now, and Ryan has a question about nipping and potty training his new puppy.
All right. Hi, Ryan. How you doing?
Hey, Katie. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What kind of new pupper do you got?
All right. So maybe you remember my old dog, Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that Ryan. Hi, Ryan. Now, Dexter's still with us, right?
Dexter is still with us.
Oh, yes. Okay. I thought I saw a scene.
Slowing down a little bit, but he is just wonderful.
Because I thought I saw it on a Facebook page a while back that I'm like, oh, I was wondering about him. Oh, so you got a new pup. So now what did we get?
Yeah, so we got a blue heeler. So he's an Australian cattle dog, a blue heeler.
Okay.
And him and Dexter they're great friends. Like, they get along super, super well.
Okay.
We also have a new kitten in the house.
Oh,
the
Lord.
Kitten technically came first. Okay. So Dexter is dealing with two new siblings.
Okay.
But so, yeah, with the potty training, so it was kind of two questions. Potty training, so he's great. Dakota is the new dog.
Okay.
And he's really good overnight. He doesn't have any potty issues. He sleeps in our room. We don't keep him in a kennel overnight. He sleeps with us right now. And never has any issues. But then it seems that, like, we'll bring him outside and he'll go potty, both one and two. But then sometimes it seems like we bring him back in and it seems like he goes a lot when he's outside.
Uh-huh.
But he will go more when he comes back inside.
Okay.
And it seems... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. How old is he?
He's 9 weeks.
9 weeks. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now, at this point, they sleep more than awake. But, and to be honest with you, kiddo, please put the dog in a kennel in your bedroom. Don't let him be in the bed. I know he's okay. cute and soft. I get this. But we were looking down the lines of what protocol we're setting, sure. that you want him to acclimate to the kennel, that he's okay with it, he's happy with it. The right to be on the bed will come later when you know, if you want to, you know, like take a nap, that's different than actually, you know, going down for the night, okay? If you want to cuddle on the couch or whatever type thing with him, that's no problem with that. Sure. But the actual nighttime, put him in a kennel next to your bed, because that's part of the bonding process of getting used to your smells, your sounds, and such like that. But that's mm-hmm. also by bringing him in bed at this age, what you're doing, you're putting him on a pedestal, and that is going to bite you in the butt a little bit later. He's got to see you as the top dog, okay? And not him, he's cool and you're not. So that's why sleeping sure. with us, with some personality dogs, can't happen. But don't start it out like this, okay? Okay, so we want to start kennel training him, put him in the kennel at night. If he starts to whine, just tap the top of the kennel. Hey, quiet. Okay, and then eventually he should settle down. At that age, if they go to bed about 9, 10, they usually wake up 1, 2, and 5, 6 to go potty. Okay, and then when you wake up, you don't talk to him, don't stroke him, don't say nothing. Just pick him up, take him out to go potty very calmly, softly, go potty. Then when the dog goes potty, you pick him up, you bring him back in, put him back to bed, and you go back to bed. Don't totally wake him up, all right? Okay. Don't putz with him don't be doing that.
That'll be hard to do, but yeah.
I know. There's a time for coochie coos. I get that. Okay. And then now the big thing is that he's 9 weeks old. When they go to bed at night, the whole system slows down. Oh, we got to go to break. I looked at the clock. I'm really bad at this. Can you hold on, Ryan? We got to run to break and then we'll come back. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I'm so bad at that. I'm surprised Grant wasn't over there. Like, hey, hello. Yeah.
I was going to give you another 30 seconds.
There you go. Okay. Okay. Here you go. How many animals did Moses take on the ark? We'll be back. All right. Thank you for tuning me in here every Sunday, 4 to 6. Remember, you can stream all the shows here on mytalk1071.com. And then also, we all have podcasts of our past shows. So please go to mytalk1071.com. And to listen to all my past podcasts, go to Katie K9's show page, okay? Okay, here you go, Grant. How many animals did Moses take on the ark?
Moses, are you sure? Was it Noah?
Okay, there you go. Ding, ding. That was the thing. You got it. And you said it earlier, so that's why I was like, I'm going to throw that one at him, see if he recalls it.
Rachel actually got that, so I just wanted to give... Right. I was trying to give her swinging the mic over there.
There you go. So how many animals did Moses take on the ark? None. Because it was Noah's ark.
Yes.
There you go. Okay, let's go back to Ryan. Oh, he on the break here, Randy ran in and showed me his buddy that is like, if he stands up, his head hits the ceiling. but what made you get into Irish Wolfhounds?
Well, actually, it was my girlfriend Lily. When I first met her about 6 years ago now, she had Bo, who's now 7.
Okay.
And she trained him so well. We got him into being a therapy dog. We'd bring him to Gillette's Hospital, and he was such a hit. Like you said, gentle giant hit that we fell in love with the breed, you know. And so now we'll never separate ourselves from that breed. So we have another one named Grizzly, who she just mentioned. Yeah, he's pretty much huge. when he's standing up on two legs, he can hit the top of the ceiling. He's a good probably. I would say almost 6 feet tall.
Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable. That's crazy. Really is. Yeah. And they are. They're just gentle giants. And you do get some that real, but they usually about 3 years old. They kind of, even the ones that are kind of goofy, mm-hmm. when they're younger, they start slowing down and just being a little bit more calmer.
That's it. Once they get to that 3, they just sit mm-hmm. in the corner and do nothing. It's the best.
So a therapy dog he may make someday. So,
yes. Thank you.
Okay. Back to Ryan. And Ryan, you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay, so now, but the big thing is, you know, what you have to, and I don't know if you heard this earlier, is you can't let the pup bond to Dexter. He's got a bond to you. So they can come together a couple times during the day and play, but otherwise then the pup is with you on a leash, and then maybe with your other half, you know, Dexter is with your other half, okay? And so then, but the thing is how you know the pup has bonded to you. Now you said Dakota, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Dakota. Okay. So that is that when they are playing and you guys enter the room, both dogs should stop what they're doing and come racing to you and vie for your attention. If the bond isn't completed yet, they'll come and greet you. Dexter will, of course, because he's bonded to you. But what you're looking at is the pup. As the pup follows Dexter to you, then he'll say, "Oh yeah, hi," but then he'll quickly turn to Dexter and go, "Okay, we said hi. Let's go bye." Okay, you want sure. Both dogs vying for your attention. So let's say you're in the den watching TV and you got the pup and your other half is in the other room or outside. I mean, he's got Dexter, okay? And so, then you switch up. And so the pup gets to know both of you really well. Now, how old is the kitten that you brought in?
She's about 3 months now.
3 months, okay. Yep. And so now the pup is going to see the kitten as a live play toy. And so that is
very true. Yeah. That's how they interact with
you. Yeah, and so that's why you've got to, have your, hey, be nice, you be nice, be nice. Have the pup on a leash so that then, if he starts getting a little over, the paws are flying and such like that, you've got to protect that kitten because a kitten is just too vulnerable at this age. All right.
Okay.
And so then, let's say you're all hanging out on the couch. Great. The kitten, where everybody's being still and he can get to know each other. If the pup or even Dexter wants to chase the cat, that's a wrong. Leave it. All right. And if you have to, put them on leashes so you can follow through. But it's because you want them to go, "Oh, the cat is moving." Oh, cat's moving. Get him. All right. Because you don't want to start out with it being a game. They've got to learn to respect the face and space of the kitten. All right.
Can I ask a question? I know you don't typically do cats, but there is one caveat to that. Like, that is great advice, of course. But she is usually the antagonizer.
Oh, yeah. That's what kittens are. When it moves, they're chasing the tails. They're moving, chasing legs. They're biting at legs. And, yeah. But if they're going to be like oil and water. The puppy and the kitten is going to be like oil and water. And then, of course, she's going to do, like with Dexter, if his tail's wagging, she's going to want to chase it, whether he's laying on the ground or whatever. And she might come up and smack him in the face if he's laying down. That's what you've got to do. She's going to have different times of days. Same with the puppy, that they're going to be really just squirrely. So, the puppy right now, they have the zoomies twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Once in the morning, once at night, where this shot out of a cannon. Get all the dogs and the cats away from that and let the pup just go, go wild. Then when the pup, that usually lasts a minute to 2-3 minutes. And then when the pup is going, I'm done. Then now everybody can come back in the room and now the cat or the pup isn't antagonizing the cat. And so, yeah, so you got to, boy, I don't know what you're thinking, Ryan. You didn't have enough stress in your life already. You got to put a kitten and a puppy in your life. Good gravy. But so the big thing is to teach the pup, what potty is called. Take him out to the potty spot. Go potty, go potty. You did that with Dexter. Dust off the cobwebs there because Dexter turned out to be an outstanding citizen there. And so, but the biggest thing you've got to do is make sure that they honor the kittens, even though the kitten might, go in and get it going, stir in the pot. Have the dogs, you're bigger, you be nice, be nice. Sure. And the kitten is being too antagonistic and the kitten needs to go into another room until she settles down, okay?
Okay.
And but the big thing is maybe let the pup drag a nylon leash around the house because it's your job to play referee between the pup and Dexter. Be not Dexter's job to say, "I've had enough," and growl and snap at the pup. You're going to cause animosities between the two. And so then it's a steady law that adult dogs, kind of put up with puppies. But if it's really been when they bug the heck out of the older dog. Thank you. And anyway, then when the pup turns to be about 6-7 months old, that older dog is like, "You're mine now." Because there's a law of the land that you can snap and push at a puppy, but you can't take them out.
Sure.
There are some adult dogs, though, that will cross that boundaries, and they're usually not nice dogs. But anyway, so that's why your job is to make sure that if Dexter is being, the pup is just being abnormally obnoxious with, hey, Dexter, be nice, and then get the puppy out of there, put him on a leash, bring Dakota, away from the situation, get him onto something else. So you have to play the referee. Don't expect Dexter to take care of his face and space, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so just make sure everybody plays nice in the sandbox.
Okay, absolutely. Then that kind of goes into my second thing was, with him specifically, was just kind of nipping. I know that, he's an Australian kennel dog. That's what he does,
right?
As his breed.
Yep.
what is your kind of maybe advice on deterring that as much as we could?
Well, I mean, you got
to
see.
I don't think it'll ever go away, and
no, it won't.
Don't want it to have to go away,
right? But what you got to do is you got to have a word, and usually I use the word "leave it." Leave it alone is no concern of yours. Okay, leave it. And then you turn, well, we're going to go to break. So then hang on again, Ryan, and we'll take care of take care of the nipping. All right. Why did the baker go to the bank? Why did the baker go to the bank? We'll be back. There you go. All right, everybody got to hear more of the song now. So that's pretty cool. Look at you. Adding so much to the show. There you go. All right. Okay, let's go back. Oh, wait a minute. We got to get the. Why did the banker go to the bank?
Rachel knows the answer.
Go for it.
I'm going to say he had to deposit his dough.
Ooh, that's good. That could be an answer. The other one is because he needed, you know how you need dough? Needed more dough.
Needed dough.
Okay, so that, but you're Rachel. That was, there's always more answers. There we go. She's going to fit nicely. Uh-huh. She's Googling it over there.
No, she's come up with the last two on her own. She might be fitting in really, I might need her every time.
There you go. Okay, back to Ryan. Okay, Ryan, also, so if Dakota is going, like, for, you know, your ankles, which he's a herding breed, okay? You're going to give him the growl, and then you're going to go leave it, okay? And if he doesn't, blast him in the face with the water, the hair mister filled with water set on stream, okay? And then, you know, leave it. And if he doesn't back off, you know, then blast him, okay? But now let him drag a nylon leash around the house so you've got something to quick step on if he starts to pursuing the, you know, chase the kitten, or if he's abnormally, you know, jumping and going after you. And remember, at 9 weeks, they sleep more than they're awake, and a crabby puppy is a tired puppy, is a more nippy, yucky puppy, okay? So make sure he gets enough naps. Because when they start to be getting about 11, 12 weeks, that's when they're not sleeping as much, and their focus point is starting to gather, and so things can really start setting in. Okay.
Okay, great. So if he does start showing some energy around the other animals, would you suggest maybe then just putting him in a room by himself?
Either put him on a leash. Put him on a leash with you, or put him in his kennel and give him a timeout. You know, just like the, and then you always make sure that the kennel is just happy as kennel. Even though he's going in there because he's being bad, you don't say "get your kennel, bad dog." That's the worst thing you can do. It's going to be kennel, real happy. So the dog is always happy when he hears the word to go to kennel. Sometimes he gets fed in there. Sometimes he's got a treat in there. You know, it's a fun thing. And then when you put him in the kennel, you can cuss and swear as you're walking away. What was I thinking, getting a puppy and a kitten at the exact same time?
Sure.
Okay, but that's the main thing.
No, that's wonderful.
And I don't know if you still have the handouts from when you came through with Dexter, but the whole thing is just you're conditioning him to the words that you need. You know, like sit. If he doesn't sit, then place his butt on the sit. You know, and very nice. Little tickle in the chest. Remember, try not to say "good boy." Just say "thank you" or "very nice." Keep his brain calm and steady, all right? And become the Remember, don't overuse the word no for everything. And then when he's in trouble, let's say him and Dexter are together and the pup is a problem. Okay, if you come in and go, "bad dog." Okay, Dexter's going to go, "holy crap." Don't look at Dexter. Just look at the pup. The pup is the one that's in trouble. Okay, take care of that situation. And if Dexter gets up to move, then once you give the and the wrong to the pup, now call Dexter over and go, "you're fine, buddy, you're fine. The pup was an idiot today, not you." Because he's going to respond thinking that you're mad at him, but just look at who's in trouble, all right? Get the eye contact of the one who's in trouble. Okay, kid.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, good. Well,
thank you so much. I really appreciate all of
no problem. No,
yes.
No problem.
Yeah,
I'm sure
wonderful.
You're gonna.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're gonna have lots more questions. You know, send me an email or up at Katie's Canine, and make sure you get a cat tree for the cat, so the cat has a way to go up to get out.
We actually did secure a cat tree. We went to the pet store the other day and set it up, and she is absolutely loving it.
Nice.
Get away from the energy from the two dogs.
Exactly.
Sure, so.
And then make sure that the dogs don't eat the cat food and the cat doesn't eat the dog food. That's why you want to give separate places to feed, so everybody's eating their own food. Okay. And the cat you want to get into, start rotating the food. Don't just feed the same thing all the time. Remember, you want more canned food. Try to limit the dry food because then they get crystals in the urine. Get the book.
Sure.
Get the book Your Cat. Your Cat by Hodgkins, Hodgkins. that's going to be you guys' Bible to read for the next month to understand the cat a little bit more and do it right. So your cat.
Okay, perfect. And it was H-O-D-G-K-I-N-S.
Correct. Hodgkins, yep.
Wonderful.
Okay. Okay, kiddo. Well, let memories begin and let you may need cocktails at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, a glass of wine is sounding good in the future here.
There you go. There you go. Take care, Ryan.
All bye-bye. Right. Thanks so much, Katie.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's a houseful. You know, you get the pup, the energy of the pup, the energy of the kitten. It's like, I don't even think I would, well, I know. When I haven't had a puppy in 50 years.
Oh.
And there's a reason. They're a lot of work if you're going to do it right.
Yes.
You know, and so there's so many stages that you got to work through that you, so you have a good adult dog. So, okay, who's up?
We have Debbie, and Debbie's little guy is having some teeth problems and is debating surgery and has a question for you about this whole thing.
All right. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for hanging on. I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, so what kind of pupper do you got?
It's a Chihuahua. It's probably 4 or 5 pounds.
Okay.
And he's 12 years old.
Okay.
And he's got really bad teeth, and I'm scared to have surgery done on him.
I hear you. Okay, now have they is he letting the vets kind of look at it or not?
Yeah.
Okay, and so their prognosis is what? Do they think once they get in there, do they think they're going to wind up pulling them all or what?
Yeah, they think they're going to pull them all.
Okay, this is a really not. Is he in good health?
Yeah.
Okay, is he overweight?
No.
Good, good, good. Okay, because 12, yeah, the older, you know, people get in separate. And I went through that with my Ethel, you know, but she was 9 or 10 when they had, and she was 3.1 pounds, okay? And that's, they pulled all her teeth. And so I was a nervous wreck, number one, that small of a dog going under anesthesia, and then pulling all the teeth, and then could the infection come? You know what I mean? I was just a nervous wreck. And so that's why you know the dog. If the dog is in good health, you know, his kidney, his liver, they usually do a panel before they do surgery to make sure that there's no kidney or liver problems, that so that when they do the anesthesia, that doesn't crash the dog. And then is your vet used to working with small dogs like that?
I don't know. I'm having it done at Mission Hospital.
Okay.
Mission Vets over in...
Yep, I know. I'm familiar with that. Yep. Because with my Ethel, I was so nervous because I've always had big dogs. So I looked around to see. I asked little dog owners, you know, who they liked. And a lot of the people pointed to Dr. Jenny Urban. She has Valley Creek Animal Hospital and Valley Creek Road Animal Hospital. And so she's the one that worked on my Ethel. And so, but that's the whole thing is that, you know, the teeth are going to damn the dog anyway. But if he's of good weight, good and healthy, because otherwise it can cause, you know, heart problems and such like that. And so that's what you've got to do is I would set up the appointment. I would say a lot of prayers. Everybody does their job correctly. And the little pupper's going to come back to you. And then you don't have to, if they wind up pulling most of the teeth, then he's going to be a mush dog. That's what Ethel was. She was on a raw diet because she couldn't eat anything. You know, obviously she had no teeth.
So. That's another thing. He's so picky. He won't eat anything but chicken or steak or ham, just regular meat. But he won't eat any dog food or...
Okay, yeah. But then what you can do is you can, if you have a bullet, you can whip the crap out, you know, whip it up, you know, chop it up, you know, so it's fine so he can just lick it, you know, type thing. So you'll find a way because when Ethel got her teeth, but she wasn't a finicky eater. Whatever I put in the bowl, she was like, yeah, I'll take that. No problem.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just got to learn it for a while until his mouth heals. You're going to make things like a gravy. And don't worry, he'll get hungry enough. He'll lap it up. You know, he'll do just fine. And, but the whole thing is to change. Yeah. Like I said, remember dogs eat according to how it smells, not to the taste. Dogs have, we have 9,000 taste buds. Dogs have 1,700 taste buds. Okay. So they, if it smells intriguing, that's when they're going to lap it up. And sometimes by using bone broth, chicken broth, you know, beef broth, you know, to be the moisture, you know, to whip it up. Like if you chop it up chicken or beef or whatever type thing. So So anyway, so that's what I would do. Okay. And then like do some probiotics and probiotics after the before the surgery, you know, get him going into surgery good, get him on some good probiotics, some digestive enzymes, get his gut healthier. And then when he comes out, then I would double the probiotics, just like in case there was any infection in there that you're going to stay on top of the situation. So you're going to, you got him going into surgery good and out of surgery good. Okay.
Yeah.
So all the dogs and all that have had surgeries and all the dogs I've had, I was never such a mess as I was with my Ethel. I was just, I was ready to call the vet. I was one of those one of them owners that want to call every two minutes. How's my dog? How's my dog? How's my dog? Yeah. You know, and so as it was, I called two times. Katie will call and let you know when she's up and going. Okay, thank you. But yeah, so it's going to be a big relief. But yeah, that's all you can do, because if you're going down the road, if you let it go and it gets bad, and then now he's older, can't take the anesthesia as much, and then like I said, the teeth causes a lot of heart issues. So that's why you know, if it needs to be done, then go for it. You know, can you see how bad the teeth are? Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, they're bad.
Okay. So then you're in agreement with it. Then do it. But like I say, say a couple prayers, put them on the prayer chain, that everything does well. All right.
Okay.
Kato.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
This surgery for humans and for pets, you're always, my horse, Jake, I don't know if he talked to you when you were here last, my horse is 34 years old.
And, oh, wow.
And, yeah, and that's a Minnesota horse that hasn't been pampered, like a heated Barney and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you can get it past 28, 29, you've done good.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm really, and most of my horses I've lost between 29 and 31. So he's the oldest horse that I've had. And now he's gone off feed because his teeth are starting to like fall out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I got to have the vet come out, and there might be a loose one in there because he's not, the way he's moving his jaw. So anyway, so yeah, the older they get, then, you know, you're walking on pins and needles. And every time when I go down to do in the morning when I do the chores, usually when he hears my front door shut, he does a little, you know, it's like, he's coming. Okay. And occasionally if he's really chomping at the bit, I get a huge whinny.
Gotcha.
You know, but there's been times I've gotten about halfway down and then I'm so scared to say his name that there's not going to be an answer. I know that day is coming. You know, and then I'll pretty go, hey, Jakers. And then, thank you. It's not this morning.
Right, yes.
You know, yeah, it's just crazy. You know, sometimes you just wonder. And there's a lot of people that when they lose their dog, their cat, their horse, what you go through is so gut-wrenching that it's like, I can't do that again.
I know.
I can't go through that again. And, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I lost my Ethel, my 3.1 pounder about 2 months ago. And what the thing was is that something that little could take so much of your heart. You know, I was never a small dog person. I was the bigger the dog, the better.
Me too, as you know.
And so that's why when she left, I was just like, you know, on my knee. And I've had people over the years that say, well, you've lost so many dogs and so many horses and so many cats and so many chickens. And the next word, doesn't it get easier?
No.
And I'm just, you know, I just stand and look at these people like, how does a loss get easier? Would they take a piece of you with them?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that, you know, and there's grant you with dogs, horses, cats, there's some that you do love a little bit, you know, there's a little bit more of the heart they take from you, you know,
yes.
type thing.
Yes.
You love them all, but there are some of the special ones, right. You know,
yes.
that for some reason there was a connection, like some people call it their soul dog, you know, soul partners, soul mates, you know, stuff like that. And so, yeah. So, like I said, everyone hurts, knocks me just as hard to the knees.
Yeah.
And it's craziness is what it is.
It doesn't get any easier. It just, you figure out a way to deal with it is what happens. At least what I've found in my time is that you find ways to live with that feeling rather than easier.
Well, what it is, anytime there's a loss, whether it's human or pet, it's a void. You have a void that you have to learn to fill to a degree. You know what I mean? Whereas, okay, now, like I say, it's the greater the love, the greater the loss, the greater the love, the greater the grief, and the greater the grief, the greater the love. And so the whole thing is that, you know, it's just kind of a round circle is what it is. And
yeah,
you learn to deal with it, but it's like filling that void. There's a void that's left behind.
Yes.
And so anyway, it's just like when you lose a human or a pet. But anyway, okay, on to the sunny side of things. Okay, I have an eye, but I am blind. A sea, but no water. B, but no honey. T, but no coffee. And a Y, but no answer. What am I? I'll be back.
All right, we're winding her down.
Thank you for all your, I hope you had a good weekend at the cabin. And today, you got, well, all days, you got to sit floating and get some tan and get some color in your bones. And so, just had a good weekend. Had a couple cocktails. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have an I, but I am blind. A C, but no water. A B, but no honey. A T, but no coffee. And a Y, but no answer. What am I?
Confused.
Very much. Yeah, that's true, too. That works. It's the alphabet.
Oh, there we go.
I have an I, and I am blind. A C, but no water. A B, but no honey. A T, but no coffee. And a Y, but no answer. What am I?
The alphabet. That makes sense.
There you go. See, there you go. You'll always learn something here. You know, sometimes it'll be dog-related and cat-related. Sometimes it's just... stuff.
Good old fun. Good old fun.
Good old stuff. Okay. One thing that I put on my Facebook page, you can go to mytalk1071.com and you can click on my Facebook page for Katie K9 or my website and such like that. But anyway, that I put on my, just posted was that now because it's warm, all the pools are opening up, people that have got pools. And the thing that you have to remember, folks, is that here, when you have to teach the dog where to get out from the pool in case he jumps in or falls in. So you've got to practice this where you go down your steps or whatever. Okay, have the dog on a leash, and so now he goes down with you, okay, and then you have him come back up. If you have to, use a favorite toy or whatever. And so then the thing is that then you go out a little bit further, and so when he, and then you start going towards the steps. And so what you want to do is teach him that no matter where he falls or is in the pool, how to get to those steps, the way out of the pool. And so then you start out when he gets really good about going in the pool and then out of the pool, and then make it go, you know, get out farther and farther. And then if you can get him to always, I suggest, especially for the smaller dogs, you get like a vest that has a handle on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So in case there's a problem, you're not grabbing for, you know, the collar and choking your dog.
And okay. Inhale some water accidentally, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but the whole thing is you want to teach the dog how to get in and out of your pool correctly. That's a big, big thing. Okay, those of you, what I posted on my Facebook page, by Katie Kane on Facebook page, this pool, real smart. It was a little Jack Russell. And they had this, built this hole on the side of the pool because it was one of those above ground pools. And so what it does, the Jack Russell knew to swim there, to go into this like half a PVC pipe, go up a little bit of a chute, walk across the top of the pool, you know, along the rim, and then get to the deck or dock. Deck. There you go, to the deck. And so anyway, but the biggest thing, if you're going to have a pool, you got to teach everybody, kids, to how to, if you get in, how to get out. Another big thing is that most of the pools have all these heavy duty chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want is that dog drinking a lot of that water. So what you need to do is put a couple bowls of water around the pool so the dog will go and drink out of the fresh water and things that he's supposed to and not out of the pool water. Okay.
Great call.
If you can do a salt pool, that's better for yourself, better for the environment, and better for your dog. And the neighbor down the street, Maylene and Brian, there we go. They have a salt pool, and it's so refreshing because there's no chemical smell, no chlorine smell, no nothing. It's
really,
yeah, it's cool. They use bags and bags of salt. I don't understand it, but it always looks.
Does it just? I've never been in one, so is it like you go in and is it like? Does it have that salt water?
No,
it
feels there's no chemical smell, no chlorine smell,
wow.
No salt smell. It's just it's always been super nice, and with the more you use them, the cleaner it stays. I think that's with any pool, too. It keeps you going through the filter and stuff like that. But anyway, so then one thing that happens with dogs that spend kind of a lot in a pool that has chlorine and all that, same with the humans. Their hair gets really funky. It gets like fuzzy, frizzy. It gets dried out. So you mm-hmm. do well if the dog, you know, is you when you get out of the pool, most people go and take a shower because their hair gets a little bit weird or whatever type thing. You could get a, what is that? What do they call the skin divers? A skin diver suit, you know, a rubber suit for your dog.
Oh, one of those, what are the wetsuit? A wetsuit.
That's it for your dog. So then the hair doesn't get all yucky. But anyway, but the thing is, though, is that you do well that after the dog is done swimming or out of the pool is to hose them down. I'd rather see you do it with warm water because that will loosen the chemicals off the follicles of the hair because that's why, or have it, you have a pool that you literally dunk them in to rinse them off, but get them rinsed off to get those chemicals off the coat. Because a lot of dogs have skin issues that have parents that have pools with chemicals in them. So that's what you got. But the biggest thing that drives me absolutely over the edge is when I see a dog drinking out of a pool. Because it's like, would you drink that pool water?
No.
Okay, but so our dog shouldn't either.
Exactly.
And just because they don't keel over right there doesn't mean it's not doing some damage, you know, inside along the way.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So that's why. So pool safety, number one. And then pool, like I say, and show them where the water is. Like bring them over. Hey, look at the water. Look at the water. Show them where the water is, so he knows. And then every day put fresh water in it because that will draw the dog to it. If it's been sitting there for 3 days and it's been a heat fest like it is now, that water is just going to be like bath water. They're not going to be interested in it. So you got to, you know, keep it up. But so yeah, so pool safety and then pool. And then I can't tell you enough, everybody's probably out of the kiddie pools, but a kiddie pool is a must even for as big as dogs you got. To stand in water is huge.
100%. Yes. Always huge. In the backyard.
Yep. And so that's why, remember, dogs sweat through the pads of feet, as I said earlier. So you have to be very mindful on walks, short walks. And obviously, it's cooler in the morning, cooler in the evening than it is in the afternoon.
Question yes. for you. So what do you think about with our big guy? We have those little like wet jackets that we soak them in cold water and we put it over him. What do you feel about those? Because today we went out for a short, quick little, because it was so hot, you know, but we have to get him outside to get him just a little moving. But we went for a short one. But our older one, Bo, who's 7, we always have one of those. And I'm just curious because, you know, earlier you said, you know, you don't want to shock them and you want to make sure you start with their feet up if you're playing with the hose. So I'm worried, you know, because we put it's pretty cold water vest on them before, right when we go outside. Is that going to have that same effect or?
It depends on what your version of cold is. If you put it on your hand and like, oh, and all of a sudden it feels like your hand's about ready to freeze.
No, it's
that's
not that
a little cold.
No, it's just like cold hose water, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Personally, like I said, what I said earlier is a dog's coat is their insulation against the warmth and the cold. Okay. Mm-hmm. That jacket, you know, if he was doing marathons, like if you're doing a triathlon, I could see that vest would help you as a person, right? To keep you cool. Mm-hmm. But for a vet, for a dog that's going out where they're not going to be out for any length of time,
right?
You know, you're better off to bring a couple ice cubes and go under on his pads of his feet to cool him down than to put that whole vest thing on. Because to me, that's, it's almost shocking. It's, okay, when we built our house, we've been there 39 years. I didn't grow up with air conditioning. We had 5 kids, 5 fans. Everybody had fans, okay?
Okay,
so now on a farm, you have work to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can't just say, it's too hot. Never mind, I'll see you in a couple days. Okay, the worst thing in the world, and this is to go from an air-conditioned house into the heat. Okay, and then to come back in to the cold again. That's very shocking on your system. And I know more people that seem to get sick by doing that than just living in the heat or living in the air conditioning. But when we built our house, I said, I don't want central air. I grew up with a fan. I'm perfectly fine. Of course, I was younger. I am now 4 years older. Now I have a little bit better, different thought in that.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that, so that's why you're better when you're in the element that your body will regulate to it. And as long as you're not trying to do a triathlon with the dog, you're just going for a walk, he should be just fine.
Okay.
And so, and if you don't walk him on the, you know, you get him on the grass.
Exactly, not
okay,
the pavement.
Right,
yep.
Okay. Yep. So that should be just fine. But like I said, sometimes we overdo it with the gizmos and gadgets they sell out there for our pets, and a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that bottom line is that they're a dog and they adjust very well. It's more for what we all, this would be perfect for our puppers. So. Okay, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for Grant. Rachel, we'll be hearing your friendly little voice here hopefully one more this afternoon. And so you guys make it a great week. Don't hide your dogs, train them. And if don't train them, don't blame them. See you next week. Go to mytalk1071.com for all the podcasts.